Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil karim amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Faman ya'mal mithqala dharratin khayran yarah wa man ya'mal mithqala dharratin sharran yarah. My respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this verse, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Whoever does, performs. مِثْقَال means the weight of any good deed he does. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, the weight of an atom. Whoever does good, that is equivalent to the weight of a tiny atom, no matter how minute it may be, yarahu, he will see it on the day of Qiyamah when his a'mal will be weighed. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever does any bad deed, minute as a tiny atom, then too he will see it. In other words, every single thing that we do, good and bad, everything is recorded and everything will be brought forward on the day of Qiyamah when our a'mal, our deeds will be weighed on the scales. So there are two words. One is khair, the other one is shar. Khair means good and shar means evil. Another word for khair, hasanat. Another word for shar, sayyi'at. Talk about good deeds and bad deeds. The easy word is khair and shar, as mentioned in this verse. So throughout we find in Quran and Hadith, the word khayran will come, and the word sharran. So when it refers to deeds, it refers to good deeds, khayr, and bad deeds, evil deeds, shar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we look at our maqsad in this life, the purpose and object in this life, maqsad is zindagi, is khayr, good deeds, is that which we have to bring into our lives and perform these good deeds. And shar, we have to endeavor to the best of abilities to refrain from shar. Simple as that. So if somebody, or we have to explain to somebody that what is our purpose in this life and what do we have to do and what we have to abstain from, then we have to do khair and refrain from shar. The same khair and shar, which is with us in this world, will also be with us in the qabr. يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثَةُ. Three things follow the mayyit. أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. His wealth, his family, and his amal. So the same amal we're talking about. فَيَرْجِعُ إِثْنَانِ. Two things come back. His family comes back. His wealth comes back. But وَيَبْقَى مَعَهُ عَمَلُهُ. But his amal remains with him. This amal, either it will be khair or it will be shar. It will be good deeds or bad deeds. So in the qabr also you will have your khair and shar. On the day of Qiyamah, as I mentioned, what will be weighed? Khairan and sharran. So our whole life revolves around khair and shar. So this is the zindagi, our maqsad of the zindagi, to do a'mal saliha, to do all the khair, faraid, wajibat, the sunnat, the mustahabbat, sunan, mustahabbat, nawafil, all these are good deeds. These are all khair. A'mal is saliha. And to bring this a'mal is saliha, first of all, Quran and Hadith exhorts us to do abundance in good deeds. And also not to be lazy and lackadaisical and to be lax regarding good deeds. One should not procrastinate. In Arabic, the word is taswif. That I'll do it tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day never comes. When the desire, the strong desire comes to do any good, then do it immediately. This is hasanat. So when it is khair, one is we have to do it in abundance. And the second thing, we should not delay. Quran Sharif talks about hastening towards good deeds. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah talks about وَسَارِعُوا. The word سَارِعُوا, سَرْعَى in Arabic. Sari'un means fast. Sara'a, yusari'u, musara'a, to hasten. So the word sari'u is mentioned. In the hadith, the word badiru is mentioned. Also means jaldi karna, to hasten, not to delay. So we have to do a lot of good deeds, and we have to hasten and not delay. Because sometimes the person will delay, as I mentioned, he will never get the tawfiq of doing that good deed. Then as far as shar is concerned, we have to do our utmost to refrain from all evil, no matter how big it may be, no matter how small it may be. And if we fall into shar, then immediately we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make amends, we repent, and we make sincere tawbah. So good, we do in abundance, and we hasten towards good. Of course, with ikhlas and in the correct way, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as shar is concerned, we refrain totally. Bilkul ijtinab kare. Complete abstinence. We completely abstain from every type of shar, no matter how small it may be, and minute, and no matter how big it may be. And if khuda na khasa, we fall into shar, then immediately we make sincere tawbah, istighfar. So what is shar again? Evil deeds. All those things that Allah Ta'ala has made haram for us. All those things which are detestable in sharia, abhorred by sharia, disliked by sharia, makruh things, makruh tahrimi, makruh tanzihi, haram. Refrain from all those things. Refrain from haram food that a person eats. Refrain from haram friends, from bad company. Refrain from haram environments. All these things will pull us and draw us into more and more haram. Refrain from haram wealth, from haram earnings, haram consummation of haram foods, of having haram parties, and entertaining ourselves in a haram way. All these things are disliked by shirk. This all falls under the category of shar. And again, good, you hasten towards it. Therefore, Rasulullah SAW has mentioned, Al-Kayyisu, the intelligent person is who? Man dana nafsahu, who suppresses his nafs. He goes against his nafs. He applies that mujahada. And wa'amila lima ba'd al-maut. Again, he does actions, good actions, for the life of the hereafter. For after maut, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is an intelligent person. He is kayyis. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, ittaqillaha haythuma kunta. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. In other words, again, do those things that Allah has commanded you to do, that is taqwa, and refrain from those things that Allah has made haram upon you. So do the khayr and abstain from shar. Ittaqillaha haythuma kunta. The moment you do something wrong, hadith tells you, atbi'i sayyi'ata al-hasanata. Tamhuha. If you commit one evil, then follow it up with a good deed. Follow it up with a good deed. You did something wrong, so immediately you make tawbah istighfar and do some good action. The good action will obliterate, it will wipe out the bad action. So easy. For example, a person said something wrong, he used a vulgar language. He was harsh with one person. So obviously you ask the person for forgiveness. Or anything else, you did something wrong. You looked at some haram woman. You did not lower your gaze. Immediately after that, if you perform salah for example, salah is a good deed. That 2 rakat salah you read will wipe out that evil action that you did. So ittaqillaha haythuma kunta wa atbi'i sayyi'ata al-hasanata tamhuha. So what we have to do again is to refrain from all evil and do all that which is good in sharia. Of course, sharia is not something that you and I have our own understanding of. It is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, and it has been understood by those true men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah ta'ala gave them that nur of the batin, real light of the heart, nur of the aql and proper intelligence. The life outwardly, externally, internally was absolutely pure. Allah blessed them with mashayikh, asatiza, that go right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they understood sharia, like how sahaba sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They took the ahkamat, the laws of sharia from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They pass it on to tabi'een, people like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he was a tabi'i. Then you have Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, they came after that. But they understood, Allah gave them faqahat, the samaj of deen. So that is how deen has reached us. It's not for us to say this is good and this is bad. But in today's time, let us change it and to blend with society. We won't regard this thing as evil anymore. And we'll say it is khair. No, that is not for us. Whatever is khair, is khair. Whatever is shar, is shar. That will remain till the day of qiyamah. So we shouldn't apply our own understanding and change what is khair and what is shar. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een, they understood this purpose of life, that they have to do khair and they have to abstain from evil. And therefore they would continuously ask Rasulullah sallam, Ayyul a'mali afdalu ya Rasulullah? Which deed is the most virtuous of deeds? Questions of this nature. Ayyul a'mali ahabbu ila Allah ta'ala? Which action is most dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin idha amituhu dakhiltu jannah. Ya Rasulullah, show me such an action, if I do it, I will enter Jannah. وَيُبَاعِدُنِي عَنِ النَّارِ, it'll keep me away from Jahannam. These were the questions they would ask regularly. They had that burning desire to do khair and refrain from shar. They wanted to know what is khair and what is shar. They wanted to know every hasana and every sayyah. Every hasana so that they could implement it and get the reward of it. They wanted to know every sayyah and shar so that they could abstain from it. So therefore, Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in understood what is khair, they understood shar, they learned it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they brought it into their lives because they knew this was their maqsad-i zindagi, the object of their life. Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, for example, he would say, kana ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yas'alunahu anil khair, wa ana as'aluhu anil shar. You see, Sahaba generally will ask questions, and many times they will ask all the good actions, and I particularly will ask Rasulullah about shar, the evil actions pertaining to before Qiyamah, all the evil things that will take place. He said, I will go and ask Rasulullah, what about, tell me, what will happen? This will happen. What type of fitna will take place so that I may protect myself from that shar? So see, Sahaba would ask Rasulullah these type of questions. They had hirs. Hirs in Arabic means to be, literal translation, greedy. But of course, we're not talking about greedy here. Greedy for knowledge, greedy for amal. They were desirous of that knowledge. They were desirous of implementing that knowledge they learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they did not leave any opportunity where they could gain from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, they would seize every single opportunity to understand this khair and understand this shar from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, mashayikh and ulama have mentioned from the sahaba, they have mentioned, kanu ahrasa shay'in ala al-khair. As far as any khair is concerned, sahaba were most desirous in learning that from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and implementing that from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew this desire, and he knew this is the object of life. He had to direct the sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in and the entire ummah. So therefore, he would say, "Ala uhdi laka hadiyya." He would tell his sahabi, "Would I not give you a gift? Would you allow me to give you a gift? And what was the gift? Some good amal. Show him some direction. You do this, this is the reward you will get." Another example, Sa'id bin Mu'alla radiallahu ta'ala, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with him in the masjid. He holds his hand and tell him, "Oh Sa'id, before we come out of the masjid, I'm going to tell you which is the greatest surah of the Holy Quran." So after Salat, Rasulullah got preoccupied, whatever, Sa'id bin Mu'alla is walking with Rasulullah. And it may have slipped Rasulullah's mind that he told him, "I'm going to tell you this." But look at the hirs, desire of Sa'id bin Mu'alla radiallahu anhu. His mind is where? which is the greatest surah of the Quran. I need to know it. So before they could emerge, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you promised me you wouldn't tell me a'zamu suratin fil Quran. Nabi Kareem some said, it is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Surah Al-Fatiha, Sab'ul Mathani, Wal Qur'an Al-Azim, Utituha. It is Surah Al-Fatiha. And in this particular hadith, some mentioned that that is Al-Qur'an Al-Azim. In other words, Surah Fatiha has got in it the summary of the whole Qur'an. The entire Qur'an Majid, the themes that come in the Qur'an, a concise version of the entire Qur'an, or the khulasa, the gist is in Surah Fatiha. So, Sab'ul Mathani, the seven often repeated verses, we recited in every rakat, in every salat, fard, wajib, nafil, all the time. In one day, how many times did Surah Fatiha? So, Sa'id bin Mu'alla radiallahu anhu was desirous of this. And therefore, it was, he did not leave this opportunity. He didn't say, okay, I won't disturb Rasulullah, maybe he forgot some other time. No, he wanted to know it. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, very famous incident, and we have mentioned it many times again, but I want to show you the hirs and the sharihin, the commentators of Bukhari Sharif, Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi, many others, they've mentioned after this incident, that look at the hirs of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. The desire of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala to learn deen and to practice on deen. To learn the khair and to learn the shar. Rasulullah deputes him to look after the zakat money that had come. So there was a heap and bundle of all whatever goods that were collected as zakat. There was some food stuff and some clothing, whatever items were there. Nabi Kareem tells him, Abu Huraira, you must guard. So in the night he's awake, he's waiting, watching. Suddenly some person comes and he begins to steal from that heap some food or some item. So he grabs hold of this person's hand. He said, "Arfa'annaka ila Rasulillah sallam." I'm going to report you to Rasulullah, I'm going to take you to Rasulullah sallam. This man pleads to him, "Please, please, I've got children, they're hungry, I've got a family. Please leave me alone." So he leaves him. The next morning Rasulullah sallam asks him, "Abu Huraira, ma fa'ala asiruka al-bariha?" Last night, the person who you caught, what happened about that? Imagine Rasulullah telling him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you told me to protect that wealth. And then this person was stealing. I grabbed him. I told him, I'm going to report you to Rasulullah. And he pleaded to me, he begged me. He said, I've got family, I've got children, they're hungry. So, فَخَلَّيْتُ سَبِيلَهُ I let him go. Nabi Kareem said, he's a liar. And he's going to come back tonight. إِنَّهُ كَذُوبٌ وَسَيَعُودُ The next night the exact thing happens. And he comes and he steals Abu Huraira and grabs his hand and the man pleads, my God, a family, hungry, etc. And he feels sorry for him and let him go. Next day, Nabi Akrim says, مَا فَعَلَ أَسِيرُكَ الْبَارِيَةِ What happened last night? He says, Rasul, this is what happened. He said, إِنَّهُ كَذُوبٌ وَسَيَعُودُ He's going to come back, he's a liar. Third night, the same thing happened. Now Sayyidina Abu Huraira says, no, now I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this man says, please. I will teach you something that if you read this, Allah will protect you and shaitan will never come close to you. Allah will protect you from shaitan. Allah will protect you from shaitan. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, on the one hand, Rasulullah tells him this man is a liar and he's going to come back. In other words, you must bring him to me. Don't let him go. And the other hand, he tells him, I'm going to teach you something that will save you from shaitan. And that's the thing, anybody, we're all waiting for such a wazifa. He says, okay, what is it? He said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, ayatul kursi. You read this, you'll be protected from shaitan. Allah will give you a special protection. He goes to Rasulullah in the morning, same question, ma fa'ala asiruka al-bariha. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu gives the whole incident. This would happen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sadaqak wa huwa kadhubun. This guy is a big liar, but this time he spoke the truth to you. Do you know Abu Huraira who you had been talking to all these three nights? He said, Yasmin, I do not know. He said, Dhaka Shaitan, that was Shaitan himself. He taught you the right wazifa. We read Ayat al-Kursi, we are protected from Shaitan. Make it a habit. It's extremely powerful, extremely powerful. After every Fard Salat, Ayat al-Kursi, if you read it, besides being protected from Shaitan, the hadith says that the only barrier between you and Jannah is maut. Person who recites Ayat al-Kursi regularly after every Fard Salat, then the only barrier now will be for you to enter Jannah is maut. In other words, when you get maut, then inshallah you'll get your Jannah. So ulama explain, see the hirs of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, as much as Rasul told him this guy is a liar, but he had the desire, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to learn some khair, some benefit, so that I can practice upon it. So again, see the mindset of the Sahaba. Khair ko ziyada karne ki koshish karte the. Aur shar se wo bachte the. There's another incident of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala in which there's a hadith of Rasulullah in which he reports, لِلْعَبْدِ الْمَمْلُوكِ الصَّالِحِ أَجْرَانِ. They used to have slavery at the time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted the Sahaba, encouraged the Sahaba to free the slaves. And of course, they could not abolish slavery altogether because the enemy would take captives of the Muslim and use them as slaves. So if you also had slaves, then there would be an exchange of slaves. And also, Rasulullah would tell the Sahaba, encourage them to free those slaves. And we find that those slaves who were in the bondage of Sahaba, many, many, many of them became great ulama and muftis of their time. If you look in the books of hadith, we have the chain of narrators. In other words, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu heard from Rasulullah sallam, and somebody heard this hadith from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and somebody has heard that hadith from the student of Abu Huraira radiallahu, right, it reaches us. So amongst those narrators from the tabi'een, tabi'ut tabi'een, many were freed slaves of their masters. Many of them. Great, great. Among Sahaba and after them as well. So in any case, the hadith is talking about that slave who is a pious slave. He fulfills the right of his master and he fulfills the right of Allah. He discharges the right of Allah properly, his salat, zakat, etc., whatever he has to discharge. And at the same time, he sees to the rights of his master. For him is double reward. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was not a slave. He was a free man. But this hadith, that the man will get, the slave will get double reward, inspired him. And he said, had it not been for jihad in the path of Allah, had not been for Hajj, had not been for looking after my mother, لولا جهاد والحج وبر أمي لأحببت أن أكون عبدا. I would have desired to be a slave. But because all those three items that I mentioned, jihad, Hajj, and looking after one's mother, a person, if he's a slave, it will be difficult for him. He has to take the master's permission. Can't go for Hajj until master permits him. He can't go in jihad until master gives him permission. He can't look after his mother because he's in the bondage of his master. So had it not been for these things, I would have desired to be a slave. See the hirs. Which one of us would like to be a slave? None of us. Sahaba saw the virtue, the blessing of these type of things, and immediately it created that thirst, burning desire that I must do that khair. And I must score my points. And I must get my reward in the akhirat. I can become close to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This khair I must bring in my life. This shar I must stay away from. Sa'id bin Marjan rahmatullahi alayhi is a student of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. Another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding to slavery. That every limb and ud that you free of a slave. In other words, I say, I freed this, the hand of my slave, or the leg of my slave. For every udhun, for every limb that you free of your slave, Allah will free that limb from you, of you, from the fire of Jahannam. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, Hussein bin Ali radiallahu anhu, has a very precious slave by him. somebody comes to purchase this slave. And he offers him 1 million dinars of that time. 1 million dinars. Any person would grab that. And Hussein radiallahu anhu is about to do this deal with him. When Sa'id bin Marjan, the student of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, comes at that very moment, and he says, I heard Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioning the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the same hadith that I mentioned to you now, the meaning of which is that any person who frees a limb of a slave, Allah will free his limb from the fire of Jahannam. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala says, I have freed him for the sake of Allah. 1 million dinars he was getting. 1 million dinars. He said no to that. But because the reward was what? I'm going to be freed from the fire of Jahannam. That was more important to him. Mindset of Sahaba. Desire of the Sahabi. May Allah ta'ala give me, give you, give all of us this tawfiq, that we bring these type of things into our lives, and we do that which is khair, and we refrain from that which is shar. Hirs of the akhirat. What do we have? Hirs for dunya. For akhirat, many times Allah forgive us. You know, we see certain things which is not right. We think we are seeing out of humility, and may Allah forgive me, forgive all of us. Sometimes when we see certain things, think before we ink, and think before we speak. You see, as long as I get one small corner in Jannah is okay for me. No problem. Does any one of us say, I've got a small corner in this dunya is okay? Nobody says that. Nobody is content with a small shack or a small place in this world. Everybody wants to improve his home, improve the quality of his lifestyle. He wants a very nice car, nice clothing, nice food. But for Jannah, what are we saying? I get a small piece, I'm alright. Ma'adallah. Of course, a small piece in Jannah is better than the whole world, whatever it contains, no doubt. But don't say things like, be desirous of the akhirat more than dunya. A sahabi of Rasulullah, Umair bin Hammam radiallahu ta'ala, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving targheeb to the sahaba. And he said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hasten towards the mercy of Allah and to that Jannah which Allah has prepared for the believers, the width of which, just the width of Jannah, is the distance between the skies and the earth. It's just the width of Jannah. Imagine the length and the breadth. Nabi Kareem gave the Sahaba, gave them this targheeb. It was time of jihad. He asked Rasulullah, say it again. Nabi Kareem gave him this fazilat. He had some dates in his hand. He put it down. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm plunging myself now. Why? لَإِن بَقِيتُ حَتَّى أَكُلَ هَذِي التَّمَرَاتِ. If I have to remain and for the next few seconds and moments, and eat these few dates that I have. How long does it take to eat dates? We, iftar time, we have 3 days or 5 days, whatever it is. Within few minutes, we finish. Just a handful of dates he had. He said, by the time I eat up these dates, إِنَّهَا لَحَيَاتٌ طَوِيلًا. It's going to be a very long time. And I got no time to waste. I need to get my Jannah that you have mentioned, who the width is just the skies, a bit the distance between the skies and earth. I want the Jannah. And he goes and he becomes a shaheed. Like this respected brother, and inshallah, if Allah give me tawfiq next week, inshallah, the only thing we have to remember, whatever we have spoken. And the easiest way is to contemplate after the majlis also, we go home and we, oh, the next day, inshallah, tomorrow, we give a gist to our friends. Of course, give it the correct way. Don't give half the story or wrong story. Alhamdulillah, these things are recorded also. We can listen to it again. That's the purpose. Not just to listen for a few moments and for that time, mashallah, we listen and it's all over. Maqsad of all these things is to bring it into my life, into your life. Then we are successful. Then we are making tazkiyah of our hearts. Allah has brought us here. Believe me, sometimes I think, who's going to come tonight? It's raining, cold, people are busy. But Allah Ta'ala brings. And Allah has created the thirst in our hearts. So we saw the thirst in the Sahaba's hearts. And how they change the direction. Inshallah, next week we'll hear many more inspiring incidents of the Sahaba. And it will really give us that understanding and the desire to also be like them and at least have some hirs for the akhirat. So that we can implement this in our lives and get the khair and refrain from all shar. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma. Wa bihamdika nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with great, great difficulties. And we should make dua for the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they are. Allah Ta'ala use us for hidayat. We're seeing throughout the world different things are taking place, catastrophes, in different places, almost every second day. Right now, in UK, there's a storm, battering, lashing out, so many things. You know, in China, one small virus, and they say the whole town is like a ghost town. Everything dead still, stands still, is a deadlock, lockdown, whatever, everything is finished. So Allah, it does not require a mighty powerful army. Nimrod, Allah put a lame mosquito in his ears or his nose and he got stuck in his temple and that brought the end of Nimrod. So we have to now hasten towards the maghfirat of Allah and the jannat, become beacons of hidayah, show the whole ummah sirat-e-mustaqim, hidayat, by us implementing this in our life, making tawbah, istighfar, and dua, and inshallah we'll be successful. Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana.